Even before I welcome you to the service, we're I think apparently living on the memory of previous Sunday night lessons and carol services and thinking that these front pews are not open. They are open, with very few people sitting in them. So if you want to sneak forward at some point, do that, because there's a lot of seats. So at least a dozen or so. All right, so welcome to the annual service of Lessons and Carols. This is the 31st annual hosting of this event here at Independent Presbyterian Church. It is among the most beloved of our services, and it served as a pattern for our Easter week service of lessons and psalms as well. I want to give thanks to all those who have volunteered and have contributed to the evening. There's a whole list of them that are in the bulletin, both in terms of decorations and working with choirs. And then the greatest thanks, of course, goes to Catherine, who pulls all of this together. And should say that this is the last time that Catherine will be pulling all this together. She has announced her retirement. And so you've done well to be here, because the level of excellence that she has taken this program is something that we celebrate. And in many senses, it's put us on the map musically in the way that we were not prior to Catherine's arrival. So this is, in a sense, a goodbye service, one of several that we will be having with Catherine as well. I also want to note, this is the first time in 21 years that Amy Martin has not been here to help with the children. She is at home, but because we are live streaming our services these days, she is watching right now, and so she's able to enjoy the service, but her doing so is a reminder to be in prayer for her as she fights for her life. Remember Amy and all that she has done over the years to make this service what it is. And then the next thing I need to do is just give directions briefly. When the service concludes, most of you need to go out those doors and around, and there's a lighted pathway, and then they're going to take you into the fellowship hall doors, not through the garden, but the next couple of doors. So that's where most of you will need to go. If you're older, and that's a daunting journey, then you can go through these doors and down the hall in the regular way. And if you have choristers who will be changing back into street clothes, then go out the doors to the right and down the lane and go pick up your chorister there. I think that's all that I need to say in the way of directions. Oh yes, one more. If your children are in the nursery, you can pick them up by 7:50 this evening. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you, our great God and King, our Maker, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. We come to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray that we might honor you, that we might please you, that we might bring glory to your holy and blessed name here this evening. We pray, our Father, that you would forgive us for our sin, that you would cover our guilt with the blood of Christ, that you would cleanse us through the shed blood of the new covenant and pardon our sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit to come and to move in our hearts and move amongst us. Remember the promise of Jesus that where two or more are gathered in his name, that he would be present. And so we pray for the presence of the Spirit of Christ here amongst us here this evening. We pray for peace on earth. We pray for goodwill among all your people, for unity and brotherhood within the church you came to build, and especially in this congregation. And because this rejoices your heart, we remember in your name the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry, and the oppressed, the sick, and those that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged, and the little children, and all those who do not know our Lord Jesus Christ, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. We remember as well, O God, all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in the Lord Jesus we are one forever. These prayers and praises we offer up to the throne of heaven in the words which Jesus himself has taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The remainder of the service will proceed unannounced.
The first lesson. God announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among us the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The second lesson, Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Selected verses from Isaiah 7 and 9. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thanks be to God.
ones are going to the back, so you'll need to grab them if you could, please. The third lesson, the prophet Isaiah announces, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Isaiah 40, 1 to 5. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough plains plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Thanks be to God.
Fourth lesson, the prophet in exile foresees the coming of the glory of the Lord. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thy heart shall fear, and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and the glory, and thy God, thy glory. Thanks be to God.
The fifth lesson, the angel Gabriel greets the Virgin Mary. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The sixth lesson, St. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The seventh lesson, the angels join the shepherds at the manger. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thanks be to God.
The eighth lesson, the wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Thanks be to God.
The ninth lesson. The Apostle John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
My text for the meditation this evening is Galatians 4:4, where the Apostle Paul says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might have the adoption as sons. In the fullness of time, he says, Christ came. And what that means is that it was at just the right time. I think that's the way that we would say it in contemporary language. We would say that it was not too soon, it was not too late, but it was at just the right time that Christ came into the world. The world had been prepared. And so the moment he arrived was the moment that he should arrive. It was a timely event. And I think that that's true of all that God does. Everything in connection with his kingdom happens at just the right time. There are no accidents in the kingdom of God. God is governing his church. He's governing his people. Ephesians 1:11, he's working all things after the counsel of his own will. All things, that is, God is working. Romans 8:28, he's causing all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things he is working. So who would have thought, who would have guessed, in connection with this service, 1 year ago, that this would be Catherine's last service of Lessons and Carols? Who would have thought? Who would have thought a year ago that Amy, who's played such a central part in all of this work with the children, wouldn't be here this evening, but is here in spirit and watching online, thanks to the blessings of technology, which are both a blessing and a curse, as we well know. But she's able to join with us in spirit and to participate at a distance. But who would have guessed in the providence of God that this is how things would have developed? And these are sad things for us. They're heartbreaking, both in their own way, very different ways, but in their own way. And it reminds us that we live in a fallen world where there is sickness and accidents and disappointments, and there are things about which we fear and cause anxiety and stress and are sad and heartbreaking. And so the question this evening that I want us briefly to think about is, well, what helps? What helps in the midst of a fallen world in which there is sadness and heartbreak, of which we are reminded here this evening, and there's a certain gloom that hangs over us in light of the events I've mentioned. Number one, it really helps to belong to a church. I think that's a lesson to draw from tonight. I think it's a lesson to draw from the gospel. It really helps in a fallen world. It helps to belong to a church where there are people that care for each other and support each other and encourage each other and bear one another's burdens. When Jesus saves people, he puts them into a church. And that's not a secondary matter. That's not an afterthought in terms of the gospel. It's rather central to the whole plan of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. He summarizes the whole purpose of the incarnation that we're celebrating here tonight in terms of building a church, that is, gathering a people into a church. And what that means is that we're never alone. It means the Spirit of Christ is always accompanying us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, Jesus says, even to the end of the age. But it also means that we're never apart from our brothers and sisters in Christ. It means that if Catherine goes on to the next phase in her life, it means she doesn't go alone. We go with her, and wherever she lands, she will find other believers as a part of the larger church. As Amy fights for her life, she doesn't do it alone. She's got as the prayers and the support and the love of God's people that help to support her and to sustain her. So what helps in a fallen world, a world in which there are bad things happen. And nevertheless, we know that what takes place in the fullness of time. Helps to belong to a church. The second thing I want to say is that it helps to be a part of the church's regular routines. This service is a part of our regular routines. But bear with me as I just explain some of our other routines. If you're visiting here, you may not know some of this, but just let me go through these briefly. We have a weekly routine. We get together Sunday morning. We get together Sunday night. What we're doing tonight, we do every Sunday night, all 52 weeks of the year. We gather together as a congregation, committed to each other, to being responsible for each other, for caring for each other, for loving each other. That helps to be a part of that routine, to be known by others and to know others, and so to be caring for each other. And then there's the annual sort of events that in which music plays such an important role. So let me just remind you of some of these. At the beginning of each year, we have a missions conference. The opening hymn every year, we sing, "Jesus shall reign wherever the sun does his successive journeys run." Children bring flags down the center aisle and post them, representing the nations of the world to which we are charged to go with our gospel. It's a memorable thing to be a part of. Easter. We have a service of lessons and psalms on a Thursday evening, followed by an AME event, a pancake breakfast. That's an AME event. AME would say she was the fun person on the staff. Right. The rest of us, no fun at all. And her job was to bring fun into the life of the Independent Presbyterian Church. And so we have a pancake breakfast the day before Easter Sunday. And then on Easter Sunday, we stand in the opening hymn, "Christ the Lord is risen today." Full house. It's absolutely overwhelming. Then comes Memorial Day. And then Labor Day, bookend. Do I have the order right here? Memorial Day first, Labor Day second. They bookend the summer. We spend it out at Point Pleasant. The beginning, we have a low country boil. At the end, we have a church-wide barbecue. First Sunday, last Sunday, we always sing, with Frankie leading, with David, we always sing, "Behold, bless the Lord, all children of the Lord," in the preliminary singing. And then at the conclusion of the first Sunday and the last Sunday, we always sing, "When Peace Like a River." And it has that wonderful refrain where we break off into male and female parts. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's overwhelming. The emotions are just engaged year after year. Communion season at the end of summer, where we sing in a concentrated way the great evangelical hymns, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," "Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Oh, sacred head now wounded. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus." And then we come to the table together. The bread and the cup, among other things, representing our unity in Christ. Fall family night. That's an AME event, right? It's fun. That's your cue. All right? That's an AME event. That was all from right out of her imagination. And it grew to be what it has become. Thanksgiving. We either sing Sunday morning, the week of Thanksgiving. We either sing, "Come ye thankful people, come," or "Now thank we all our God." And you see that there's a pattern here. This has gone on year after year where this is what we do. This is who we are. Christmas season. The lessons and carols service that you've just participated in. The Christmas buffet that follows. Christmas Eve, another packed house. And then singing carols by candlelight out on the lawn. And the impact of all of this is to bind our hearts together. The weekly, the annual, the regular routines of worship, the intermittent fun events for the to lighten up a bit the life of the congregation. The impact of all this is to bind our hearts together. And it happens in a very subtle way, in ways that we hardly notice until it's over. And only then, upon reflection, do we fully realize how beautiful and wonderful it all was. The common thread that ties all of this together is Jesus Christ, who saved us, placed us in a church, and then knit our hearts together through these regular routines, weekly and annually, so that we can say, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might have the adoption of sons, that we might be adopted and brought into the household of God, that we might be brought into the family of God, that we might belong as children of God in that family, and therefore as brothers and sisters in Christ, accountable to each other, responsible for each other, caring for each other, our hearts knit together by our common practices of worship and raising our families in the context of the church. And in God's timetable, it all happens according to His purposes and according to His plan. Again, He's working all things after the counsel of His will. He's working all things together for good, for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And so there's a certain sadness mixed with the joy of the evening. We are much indebted to Catherine for the music. As I mentioned at the outset, as she built upon what her predecessors did, but she, as they say these days, she took it to the next level. She really did. And brought a measure of excellence that we had never seen before. A year ago, we didn't know. Now, we know she's leaving and we're sent. Amy brought a measure of fun. She's fighting for her life. So, we miss her. And we pray with her. And we're trusting God. We're believing God that His purposes will be worked out. And pleading that there will be healing. And the cancer will be reversed. And that she will be here with us. But we can't help but think of the measure of debt that we owe to these women and the contribution that they have made to the life of our church as we pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Catherine. We thank You for Amy. We thank You for all of our musicians and choristers, and we thank You for all the helpers and all who have made this evening possible. Above all, we praise and thank our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the fullness of time came to save His people from their sin came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's join together now in singing hymn number 270, Good Christian Men Rejoice, 270. Remember, you're to exit out those doors. If you're older and infirm, you may go out that door. Parents, getting choristers to the right, everyone else to the left. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks, O Lord, for the great feast that you have spread before us. We pray that you will use that food to nourish our bodies, to give us strength, to preserve our health, so that we might serve you well, so that we might honor you in all that we do. And we pray for your benediction to rest upon us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.